It's another good morning that God has given us the grace to listen from Him and to eat of His table. And I keep saying that this is the breaking of bread. And I believe this is what the apostles will do from house to house. They met daily, following after the apostles' teaching, apostles' doctrine, breaking bread, giving thanks to God, rejoicing in one another, and, you know, enjoying the fellowship, sharing what everyone had. And I believe that really God is pleased when we sit at His table, when we just, like Mary, one thing is needed, only one thing is needed, just to sit at His feet and to listen from Him and to learn of Him. And it's this manna that He gives us. He said that I have some hidden manna. And this daily bread that He asks us, oh, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. When we receive this daily bread, we are strengthened, we are encouraged, we receive direction, we receive insight, we receive grace, and we have the capacity to face whatever challenges that we face in the day. And one thing you'll realize, that each day has enough challenges of its own, enough capacity, enough things to shake you. But when you start your day with the Lord, when you are fed spiritually, and I think this is also why Christ also, when He was on the earth, the Bible tells us in Mark 1:35 that while it was still dark, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus rose up and went to a solitary place to pray. And you can see Jesus from time to time, He will spend nights praying. You know, He will spend caches on His own praying. I mean, like overnight, He will actually just find time to just pray. Like even before He called His 12 disciples, He spent the whole night praying. And I think someone equated it to spending 1 hour in prayer for each disciple that He was going to choose, including Judas. And maybe He spent more on Judas, who knows. But he spent the whole night praying. And there are times that God calls us to that place. And this is not a place of actually just begging. It's not a place of, like, you know, with your Father, when you're praying, when you're talking with your Father, it's actually a place of conversation. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of expressing your love to God. It's a place of expressing your intimacy. It's actually a place you'd rather spend 1 hour just telling God how you love Him and receiving of His love than spending 1 hour fighting demons and casting out the generational curses. And yet, when you read the simple word of God, it tells you that God took all the legalities that were against us, everything that principalities and powers hold against us, everything that generationals hold against us. And the Bible says that he nailed it to the cross, and He made a public spectacle of it. Now, when you know that truth and when you believe it, then you don't need to spend your time working on certain things, because the simple truth is just to believe. Believe in your heart, confess, and speak it. And you just say, you know what? No legality stands against me, because every legality was nailed to the cross. And God made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them over the cross. And that you can find in Colossians chapter 2 from verse 14 there. It just says that every legality, every written code, maybe let's just open it. I think there's a beauty. Maybe I think I need to learn to slow down. Because at times I feel like maybe I have only one chance for someone who will listen to this audio only once. And at times I feel like I need to deliver that at that moment. But anyway, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to read from verse 6. Let me just open both versions. I am reading from both NIV and King James. So at times I might switch to the one that I feel is sweeter, but they are all the Word of God. Amen. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Or rather, so then just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, the main aim of this part is freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. If you look at the NIV Bible, it gives you the topic that there is a freedom that we are needed to learn, and we are needed to be taught from human regulations, traditions, or rather the doctrines of men. Now, doctrines of men have a form of truth. They have a form of expectation that they will work out righteousness in us. And if you just quickly jump to verse 23 of the same chapter, Colossians 2, it says that, 20, "Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules?" Now, what are these rules that are talking about? "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With them, their self-imposed worship and their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, by they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence." You know, when I say this, is that ideally, rules taught by men have an appearance that they create a form of godliness. By that, and I'm not saying that all doctrines are taught by men, but the teachings, and this is like an example of what the law did. The law was examples of do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't eat this, don't handle this, don't touch this, don't taste this. And you find that there are doctrines that are taught by men where you find that people now decide to separate themselves from a normal life and move into, let's say, a monastery where they don't interact with anyone, they don't grow their hair, they cut their hair, they don't eat certain food, they don't eat maybe meat, or they don't eat they don't take tea, or they don't do, you know, they're taught certain things. Do not touch, do not handle, do not taste, do not do this. And you find that it becomes like a cult, because you find these people start living in a different way, in a way that is regulated by men. And if you listen to some of the stories of some of the cults where people now are told to sell their land, to sell everything, the world is coming to an end, and they don't need to own anything on the earth, they don't need to, their focus is on going to heaven. You find that such teachings are focused so much on the do's and the don'ts, focus so much on the doctrines, regulations, and the Bible was warning that such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. That means that they look wise in themselves. Why? Because they create a self-imposed worship. They create a form of worship, and it becomes a pattern. You understand? And I pray that God will give you understanding to what I'm saying. And it results in false humility, harsh treatment of the body. And this is what at some point I was talking about, where you find that people are torturing themselves. I don't know if you've seen this activity where in Easter, where some people actually go through crucifixion and to say they want to feel what Christ felt, where they go, they get beaten, and then they get actually crucified on the cross. And I think there's a guy, I don't know how many times he has been crucified, every year he's been crucified. And yet, in doing this, someone believes that they actually has the capacity to restrain them from sensual indulgence. That is from the corruption of sinful nature. Because what happens is that people believe that, let me give an example, like fasting, or like you see someone goes into excessive fasting for 40 days, and yet, or even whichever days they choose, 2 days, 2 days, but yet immediately they finish the fasting, they are actually more awakened to their flesh than their flesh should have died in that process. Now, you'll ask yourself, why is it and how does it happen that someone has undertaken a process, and you find that even those that have chosen to separate themselves find that they are actually more slaves to that sinful nature than actually if they actually had not chosen to separate themselves. And I really want to really be figurative as I continue, because I think I don't want to, I still want to, but I think it's wisdom to know how this message is coming. So there is something that we learn, that there are things, that there are doctrines that are taught of men that result in teachings that restrain. And we could see how the Pharisees were. The Pharisees focused so much on the do's and the don'ts. Don't, you know, keeping the Sabbath, don't be healed. Don't be healed on the Sabbath. Go, come and be healed on any other day. You know, and Jesus was like, the Sabbath was the Sabbath meant for man, or man meant for the Sabbath? And many times when we put the rules above the human beings, above the meeting of the needs of people, above the actual ministration, and when you read Isaiah 58, where it speaks of, is this not the kind of fast that I've chosen, to break the bones of the weary, you know, to break those who are oppressed, to break the yoke, to deliver the, to feed the hungry, to, you know, to clothe the naked, to not end up in striving. In that, it's like there are things that God has chosen. If you want to fast, there are things that God has chosen. That there are things that, to take care of your own family. There are things that, in fact, God himself says, is this not the kind of fast that I have chosen? And actually, that's what I was reading yesterday. And I was like, okay, is this the kind of fast that God has chosen? That God has chosen a specific kind of fast that feed the poor, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of your own family. Don't exalt yourself in pleasure. If you're restraining yourself, if you're taking time alone with God, is it for intimacy? Is it to do the will of God? The time when Jesus did not eat, and he was asked, have you eaten? He said, no, my food is to do the will of God. And that time, all that he was doing was he was ministering to that woman, the Samaritan woman by the well. And he was fed in the process. When you spend time with God, when you spend time in intimacy, it is actually a time to actually just align yourself and hear the voice of God clearly. Not that you don't have the voice of God within you. It is a time that for you to express your love. And verse 16 of the same chapter, it says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I want to just ask to focus on that. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. In Christ is the fulfillment of all these things. Everything, all these regulations, the law, keeping of the Sabbath, you know, new moon celebration, what to eat, what to drink. I mean, the clean animals, unclean animals, eating of pigs, not eating of pigs. All these things were rules that Moses was giving the nation of Israel to teach them the separation that God expects, to teach them righteousness. When they are told, do not mix two types of garments. You know, when you are sewing clothes, do not mix two types of garments. It is just trying to show them purity. It's just trying to teach them purity. Like when they are told, do not intermarry. It's not that intermarriage from different communities was wrong. Moses himself actually had the wife was not from Israel. And that is why his sister Miriam were like on his case. But then they're like, God came and intervened and said, are you not concerned with with other prophets I speak to them in dreams and visions, but with Moses I speak with him face to face. You understand? When God came and defended him, and the Bible says Moses was the most humble man, he was the meekest man. He did not even stand to defend himself when his own elder sister and brother started to accuse him, you know. But what I'm just trying to say is that many rules, and even rules that were in the Old Testament, the law, everything, were shadows. That's why it says these are shadows. These were shadows that were of the things to come, and the reality is found in Christ. They are shadows, they are examples, they are patterns, they are regulations that were supposed to teach us the differences. So every regulation you read in Leviticus, and this is just a summary of the book of Leviticus, it is a shadow teaching you righteousness, teaching you separation between sinful things. You know, when they are told, and sin and righteousness, when they are told, you know, even when you have where to take your excreta outside of the city camp, dig a hole, you know, bury it. You know, it's like there are things that it's like so many things. The separation, do not plant two seeds in the same farm, is already teaching them the separation, how to separate the word, you know, not to eat the bread of demons, you know, the food of demons, food sacrificed to idols, and eating the table of the Lord. All these are separations, all these are shadows, all these are patterns, teachings. But you see, when the focus is on those doctrines, it becomes slavery, and it becomes what is more of like dead works. People focus so much on these things, on the things that are a shadow. And it's sad, you'll meet people who will focus so much on, you have not kept this day, you have not kept this day. But the Bible, in the New Testament, we learn that you can consecrate any day if you choose, whoever appoints any day for them as holy and they decide to honor it, they honor it unto the Lord. Friday can be your day of honor to the Lord. Likewise, Monday can be your day of honor to the Lord. Now, I'm not calling for an individualistic worship, but I'm calling for us to understand that the reality is found in Christ. Now, in Christ, Christ is not just individual. Christ is a body. Christ is a church. In fact, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, when yesterday we were talking about the different graces that God has given in the body, one is a leader, one is a giver, one is a singer, one is a worshiper, one is a preacher, one is an apostle, one is an usher. Each of these people have a contribution to the body. And this is what my brother Geoffrey was adding yesterday, that the eye cannot tell the nose that I don't need it. The hand cannot tell the leg that I don't need it. You know, there's a place, your hand, even though your hand can help you itching, it cannot itch inside the stomach. It cannot reach inside the stomach to see what is there. If you had a wound in the stomach, it cannot. Medicine has to go through your mouth to reach your stomach. So each part of the body supplies one another. Likewise, as a believer, you cannot isolate yourself and say that, oh no, it's me and I know my faith. I don't need to attend church. I know my God. I deal with God directly, individually. And that is the challenge with the new age, where it's a teaching of it's me and me and me. The focus is on self. And the focus is on, as long as I pray to God alone, that's all that counts. That is the wrong understanding of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of believers, that we need each other. The apostle without the body has no one to lead, has no one to teach. Likewise, the same way the apostles, they say that, please, let us appoint 12 men who will be as deacons, who will wait on tables so that we can focus on the ministry of prayer and teaching of the word. When each member of the body does not do their part, then those that are doing the part carry so much burden, yet they should be supported by other members of the body. And you find that many people come to church are more of Sunday attendance. They are more of pew fillers, and they don't realize that they, as a specific ministry and expectation that God expects of them as sons to do in the body. And it's not the doing that makes them righteous, but it's a doing that makes them contribute to supplying to the body. So each of us have a unique gift and grace that God expects to be used in the house of God. There are many lost coins in the house of God. They have value. They have the value in Christ. But since they are lost in the house, the master cannot find them. There are others who are, yes, who are lost sons in the house. You know, there was the prodigal son and there was the lost son. The lost son in the house, he was busy working, but he did not have understanding that all things belong to him. He did not have time to even have fellowship with his father. He was basically working as a servant in his own father's house. And he tells his father, I have been slaving for you all these years, and you have never even given me the fattened calf. You have never given me any cow to slaughter, to celebrate with my friends. And there are many people who are lost sons in the house. Forget about the prodigal son. The prodigal son is one who chose to live there and to go and live as a vagabond, to go and live and spend whatever he wants in pleasure. That one, he already knows he's a son. He already knows he has inheritance, and he even asked for the inheritance. He told the father, give me my inheritance. Now, that is an example of Demas, who Paul says, because Demas loved the world, he has forsaken me. These are those who already have come to the truth that they are sons of God, and they decide to, no, they already have their inheritance. God has already blessed them. God gave them their area of assignment in work. They have a job, they have businesses, it's running, and then they decide, you know what? This, let me enjoy the pleasure. let me now start sleeping with people's wives. God gave you the anointing, and then now you now start sleeping with the choir members. Now that is a prodigal son who has decided to walk away and live in sin. Now there is a lost sheep. The lost sheep does not know they are lost. Because the lost sheep gets lost by listening to strangers, listening to not following the shepherd's voice, listening to thieves, and by that confusion, they get lost, they wander away. And that is the one that the shepherd goes looking for. But the father never went looking for the lost son. No, for the prodigal son. He never went looking for him. It is the prodigal son that had to come to the realization that I need to go back to my father. But the sheep that are lost, those ones the master goes for them. That is the real evangelism. Because these ones don't even know the master. They are lost. Then they come to the house and some become lost in the house. They become lost coins in the house. They have value, but they don't add value to the master. Is a recollection. What kind of lost are you today? Are you a lost? Are you a prodigal son? Are you a lost son in the house? Or a lost coin? Or are you a lost sheep who has been lost by not even knowing the truth? Not knowing that they have a father? Not knowing that they are loved of God and that God desires that they know him. Let me stop there for today. Any reflection? You're coming through, Jeffrey? Checking if you have any addition or contribution, reflection. Okay then, we can pray then. Oh, sorry, go ahead, yeah.
No,
I thought you were not, you said there was nothing, so, but you wanted to say something, so go ahead. Can't hear you.
Oh,
Yes. Okay then, let's pray then. Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your word that has come to us this morning. We do not take it for granted. I pray that insight shall come to our listeners and to everything that you've asked us to reflect on. And I pray that it shall be result in glory, it shall result in understanding, it shall result in truth, and it shall result in action, that we shall recognize that we are part of a community, that God needs us to be united, needs us to gather together, to pray together, to be as one body, and to all contribute our various giftings and skills that God has given us for the body, and each joint supplying each joint, and each bone connected to each bone, that we are all connected to the head, and he is our head, and may we be continue to learn of Christ and not be slaves to the regulations and the teachings and the self-imposed worship, and to those that want to disqualify us from religious festivals and new moons and Sabbaths and all things that are shadows, but the reality is found in Christ, in learning the simplicity that is in Christ, that is the simple faith in you and the eternal life, the abundant life that you have called us to live in as your sons. May we experience the love of our Father. May we know the love that you have for us, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and nothing in this world shall ever separate us from the love that is in you. Not hardships, not lack, not sorrow, not pain, not persecutions, not joblessness, not sickness. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Yet in all these things, yes, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. May we continue to be rooted and built up in Christ, in the faith in Christ. May we be taught of you, as you said, your children shall be taught of the Lord. We are your children, and let us be taught of you, to the praise and honor of your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a blessed, blessed morning. Bye-bye.